Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
Yo, yo,
ah, now, fucker.
Tuned in to Al Joe, the funk master. Watch your grill, yoga, knock that cold faster. Talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
Motherfucker.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps, episode 145. Big weekend of fights. I don't remember which Vegas card it was, actually. I think it might have been 39. UFC Vegas 39. It says 38, so I'm a little off. I think 39 is actually this weekend. But big, fun weekend, obviously, for multiple reasons. For me, this was a huge week. Kind of going back and recapping just a little bit, the fight's off. So I'm out. Sanhagen is in. Interim title fight. Petr Yan, Abu Dhabi, Sanhagen. Good fight for the division. Some people kind of giving Sanhagen some flat because he's had a lot of opportunities. But so to speak, the last one, you could make the argument that he won the fight. I thought he won the fight kind of the same way I felt about Marlon versus Aldo when they fought. Split decision. Split decision also for Sanhagen in the loss to TJ Dillashaw. Dillashaw's getting surgery, so Sandman isn't. Rob Font's fighting Jose Aldo. He did beat Cody Garbrandt. Had Cody Garbrandt beaten him, he probably would have been in the mix for a title shot just on name value alone. But that's just the way the game works. So we understand the popularity contest at this point. So for me, this was a big weekend, big week for multiple reasons. And that was mainly because I brought in Adrian Yanez and I got to see where I was at physically in comparison to where I was at 5 weeks before that. So I really got a better gauge of where my conditioning was and in terms of my recovery and whatnot. Still have a little kinks in the neck in certain positions, but there's no pain in terms of the nerves. Strength is back. And I will say this week of having to train with Adrian Yanez has been really, really eye-opening and very, very good for in multiple different aspects. First one being, I think I am a better striker than what I give myself credit for. And I think that gave me a lot more confidence being able to go with someone like him. And I'm going to give you guys a recap so that there is no like me kind of like patting myself on the back, because that's not what I want to do. Monday, he comes in Sunday, and then here comes Monday. So Sunday, he got to relax. We got to pick him up from LaGuardia. Comes in Monday. Now we do, instead of our strength and conditioning, we did a drill, a three-man drill with myself, Stephen Lee, and we did 15 minutes of warming up with wrestling, and then we did the next like 20 minutes or so doing like kickboxing drills. Kind of like one guy's on the bag and then the other two guys are going with each other for 3 minutes and then the other guy switches in. So you're in two, out one. So that's the way that worked. That was the Monday morning. So that was kind of a light one. I didn't want to do the strength and conditioning circuit because I hit those so hard. That's the one I was complaining about, saying when I'm doing my minute holds, I can only hold for about 20 seconds before I'm like, yo, my arms are shot. And that's like a hard 20, like me saying, come on, everything you got. And then I'm like, all right, I'm falling off. I could have sworn I turned off this fan, but it's still going. So hopefully this is not bothering you guys too much. Let me actually try to turn it off again because this could potentially flicker around with the lights. So we didn't do the strength and conditioning workout. We did that drill session. And I thought that was good to kind of ease him into it, coming off the flight the next day and get ready for a hard night session. Then the night session we went and we did our Shark Tank group, so to speak. And that's when you have all the guys that are fighting and they do 15 minutes straight. Everyone's taking turns every single minute rotating on that fighter. And with that being said, You have three different positions. And for me, I normally do five rounds because that's the last few fights I've been getting prepared for. Even the Sanhagen fight, I was doing five or six rounds of that. And not every minute switching, but I had five different bodies to switch on, to switch with me, whether I would go two people for half the round and switch offense, defense in that same situation. And then the next position, offense, defense, next situation, offense, defense. That's kind of the way I was doing it, you know, for my fight. So we have that. That's what Sanhagen. So, but for this, we just do a minute each guy, fresh guy, every minute pouncing on you. You know, you defend a position or you get the takedown or you maintain control. The next minute goes, the next guy's jumping in on you and you're ready to go. Shark Tank style, the way I like to go. That's the way we did it in wrestling in college, blah, blah, blah. Yes. So we did that. Had a good session with that. Start to get tired towards the third round. Giannis and I, obviously, we both had, like, had potential fights. So I let him do his own thing, but then we went in at the same time. So we did two groups. I let him go. We went at the same time. And for some of the goes, I made sure we went with each other, whether it was offense and then defense or defense, then offense. But we went with each other back to back so that we can both get a feel for each other's grappling and get a good push and not just not use a day where we didn't get to work with each other in a live situation. Tuesday, what did we do in the morning? We didn't go to Lima. We went to Sarah BJJ. We did that. And then at nighttime, we did boxing. Let me tell you, when I say Giannis's accuracy, so good, so precise. The guy hit my face probably like eight times before I was even not, I don't want to say not able to respond, but before I was really able to like move my head out of the path of face punches in time, if that makes sense. So while he's throwing his combinations, by the time I finally just figured out which way to move my head and weave or slip where I got out of the way of a strike, I already got hit like 6 to 8 times already, you know? So, or unanswered strikes kind of thing. So it wasn't a hard class, but it's one of those ones where it's as hard as you make it, depending on how hard you and your partner decide to go. So with that one, I ate a couple of good shots. Nothing like I said, he wasn't trying to kill me. And for me, I obviously couldn't kill him if I wanted to. So I was more so the guy winging shots or trying to use a jab, and he's kind of just super clean, parry, throwing his jab in there, and then pop, 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 and then out of there. And I'm like, I'm trying to get a timing on this thing to just start to train myself and my eyes and my vision to get used to seeing strikes coming in at that type of a high level where I'm not a boxer. I box with the other guys, and I do relatively well, but there's a difference. A unique difference that I felt right away. And there was no windup of his punches. There was no telegraphing. It was just him moving his hands nice and flowy. Artem, just like Artem Lobov and Cardinal. Nice and flowy, Artem. Nice and flowy. It was kind of one of those things. And then it was just like pop, 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 pop. No, like I said, no windup, telegraphing. It was just snaps on his punches. And really, really good stuff, you know. So we got to talk after that, and he was kind of breaking down some of the stuff. He was telling me, like, yeah, you're very heavy on your lead leg, and it kind of takes away from your ability to kind of pull or to, you know, to be more balanced when you're throwing your punches. And I'm just kind of like watching him work, and then I was obviously doing my own, and then obviously at the end trying to make it make sense in my head. That was my first feel for what the guy can do. The kid's freaking good. 27 years old. Kid's good. On Wednesday, normally my off day, but since I had a guest in town, I want to make sure, you know, we get some type of working. So we went in, we just drilled wrestling. We didn't go crazy hard, but it was more of a flow. I brought in my guy, Will Maldonado from Cortland, also from Long Island. We wrestled together, coached him a little bit while I was there finishing up my degree, and he was still competing as an athlete. So Giannis got to watch us and see how we flowed and see how we were doing stuff. Now, Will's not a jiu-jitsu guy, but he's a very good higher-level wrestler. And he also is walking around about 175 to 180 pounds, but he's yoked. Not like just a 75-pounder. He is a big, strong man, explosive, jacked, well-put-together, only about 5'9", I think. So he's well-put-together, maybe 5'10", but I'll say about 5'9". So he's jacked, and I fight at 135, I'm 5'7". So put that in perspective of what this guy looks like, a physical specimen. So he's working with us, and he's seeing how we're doing stuff. Now, obviously, he's the odd man out because he doesn't really know how to wrestle or chaining it the way we chain it. So it is what it is. He got to learn a lot from us. And I think that was very eye-opening for him to see how we flowed and did our transitions. And especially for me, because Will's not the jiu-jitsu guy, but when we would flow into wrestling scenarios, now I'm switching it up and I'm adding in the jiu-jitsu element where I'm looking for necks, looking for arm bars, or looking for key locks where I can look for that Kimura threat. So I got to do all that stuff and work that all in there. And then Thursday, we sparred, but we did jiu-jitsu in the morning. Light, I think I might have did four. He said I did like maybe five rounds, but I thought I only did four. But whatever. I try not to go crazy because we're going to spar later that night. And I want to have energy and I didn't want to have the same feeling I was getting the past few weeks of fatigue. Because that was the whole reason why I pulled out of the fight. I'm like, yo, I'm trying. I'm going super hard in the room and I'm not getting any type of gains. Like, it's like I work really hard and I go to spar. And then it's like I hit a wall and my body just caved. And it's like, yo, I'm sorry, man. I'm not cooperating today. You need to chill out kind of thing. Needless to say, the Thursday and Friday and Saturday sparring sessions were really good, very competitive. And when you factor in the wrestling aspect, Giannis does some good stuff. And obviously, I'm not one to talk about sparring a lot. I'm just going to leave it at it was a very good session for myself. And I really got to see what I can do against a high level striker. And that gave me more confidence to know that I really just needed time off for my body to heal up from hitting the ground running and doing things methodically and in time. I can't just rush the process and try to come back from a major neck surgery with major nerve damage from over 10 years of competing as an athlete. You know, so to actually have the time to heal up and recover was super huge for me. Those three and a half days I took off during Morales fight week, which was 2 weeks ago. So for me to do that, I think it really gave my body the great reset that it needed and to be able to push through this week, last week, and have a good positive experience. And I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I was borderline depressed. I'm not even gonna say borderline. Like, it wasn't even fun being in the room based on how miserable I was, knowing that the back of my mind, I got to fight this killer of a fighter, even though I think he's, you know, anyone in the top 10, top 15, they're really, really good. But, you know, he's one of the guys that made it through that gauntlet, and he's a good fighter. And anyone could win on any given day, but he's still the guy in front of me. And in the back of my mind, I'm just like, I can't believe I feel like I'm almost walking, not to a death sentence, but I feel like I'm walking to a battle that I know I'm probably going to lose based on what I'm seeing in the room. And people were mad at me because I'm trying to do the right thing and make sure I take the proper time to heal and get my body into shape before I compete and take a fight for 25 minutes. And I know there's a lot of backlash from some people who just aren't too bright. They think they know how the business works. Oh, why'd you sign a contract in the first place? I asked for December. October was presented to me. When you're in a certain situation, obviously the one I'm in is not the most glorious way of winning the belt. So it's a situation where you almost feel like your back's against the wall and you want to do what you got to do to prove people wrong, prove yourself right, and to keep yourself on the right side of things with the company. And I'm not saying that the UFC put a gun to my head, but I almost felt a pressure that wasn't there that was making me feel like, yo, you have to do this for this fight. Otherwise, it could be bad news later down the road for you in your relationship with the company. You know, so I did what I thought I was going to help me later on. And I thought I did think I can get to the fight healthy based on what the doctor had originally said back in June. And the way that everything was trending. But then lo and behold, as I stopped doing PT to come home to start training for a training camp for a five-round title fight, my body's not cooperating. It's clearly not in the shape that we thought it was in. It was in the strength department, good, strong. But in the endurance department, needs a lot more work, and we're getting there. And this week really, really gave me that confidence to know that, okay, if December comes around, well, when December comes around, knock on wood, that I'll still be around. I feel more than confident that I will be more than ready, not more than ready, but ready to go and compete at a high level come December for that December 11th card. If this fight were to go quickly and they want to turn it around and unify this belt so that TJ Dillashaw, when he comes back, we can get the division moving again. So that's kind of where I'm at with everything. And again, let me reiterate, guys, I was depressed to hear your coach say, like, what's the matter with you? You look like you, I don't think you smiled all week kind of thing. And it was a very, very sad time in my life. The last few weeks getting ready for this fight, knowing that all my training sessions for the most part were shit. It is what it is. And I feel good and more happy and more joy doing this now that I feel better in the room, you know? So, thank you, Giannis, for coming out, because he, you know, he was saying that he would reimburse me for the flight, and knowing that the fight was off, I was like, nah, man, still want you to come out. I still want to get the look. I already paid for it. Like, the show must go on. Let's get this thing going, and let's really figure things out. I think it'd be good for you. I think it'd be good for me. You know, you got a guy who's high level in one department, and you got the other guy who's high level in the other department, you know? So I think for him to get to go with the champ and for me to get to go with a high level contender, who could potentially be fighting for the belt at any given point, I think it was good, you know? So I think we built up some good rapport, and there's a good chance that him and his teammates may come down and train with us in the future. I know his coach, rest in peace, he passed away not too long ago. And now just by talking with Giannis, he's kind of the man around the gym and really like holding everything together and making sure everything's running the way that it should run. But personally, I know for myself, even now, because I kind of do a lot of my own training in terms of coordinating what I want to do. I know how much that could weigh on you. And especially if you're running the entire gym, you're running the class sessions and that, and you're making sure that these people are here and that. I can only imagine the stress levels with things like that. So especially in the middle of your career where you're 3-0 in the UFC, you have the opportunity of a lifetime to change your life forever. You want to make sure you're doing everything possibly in the right way so that you can get to where you want to be, you know? So, he eventually coming out for like a week or two, if him and the guys could come out, I was like, yeah, man, that'd be dope. You know, I think Rafion Stotts is now down there. He mentioned, and, I know him and Marat fought in the past. I told him, I was like, We had a little powwow conversation. I was like, I do think Rafion would be a tough matchup for me because he's a good grappler. And good grapplers make for tough fights. That's why when you see Khabib, he's fought all these other guys who aren't grapplers in the sense of wrestling or sambo or judo. Those are tough fights. When you have two high-level guys that don't accept being on bottom, that's a tough fight. You know, and those are the interesting matchups because it comes down to a game of inches and who's a little bit better, who's just feeling a little bit better. Khabib's fought the only close to a wrestler who actually kind of uses their wrestling a little bit was Ally Quinta. And when was the last time he actually uses wrestling in the fights? You know what I'm saying? You know, he does more jiu-jitsu like approaches in terms of attacking submissions, like leg locks and stuff like that when he fought Kevin Lee those times. Dan Hooker, but for the most part, he doesn't like wrestle, you know, like a Khabib or myself or Marab. Our division is super different. You got Dillashaw, you have myself, you have Umar, you have Marab. I know there's Ricky Simone, Cody Stamen, kind of, sort of, but those are like the more so wrestlers. So when you have to fight a grappler who's going to give you some pushback and some resilience in those tough positions, it makes for a different type of fight. And that's why I always say it would have been interesting if we actually got to see Khabib fight like a high-level wrestler that was actually competent with grappling. Like, I know Abel Trujillo, but was he really that good of a wrestler? I mean, you look at all his other fights, how often did he actually implement wrestling? How devastating was his wrestling, you know? So, and again, this is not about Khabib or anything like that, but that's why I said that about Stotts. I think it would just be a tough fight because he actually knows how to scramble. He actually knows how to wrestle. And on top of that, he's strong and he's tough. He's a tough guy, you know? He just beat Nurmagomedov. And I think he mentioned something like now he should be the champ because he beat Petr Yan and blah, 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 whatever. All good banter, you know, getting his name out there, but it is what it is. And then Friday we did jiu-jitsu in the morning. Then at night we came in, we did like a We did like a little drilling. Ray came down and watched and gave us a couple of things to try and add into our drill session between Giannis and I. And then Saturday we sparred again. And I got to record everything. I sent him the footage for both days so that we can both use this as a learning experience to see what we could have done better. And that's what we always do. We normally record the sparring sessions so that we can get better and try to figure out what we're doing well, what we're not doing so well, and what we could work on. And he showed me a couple things afterwards with like my plant cross where I'm stepping back and not getting too far out of the way, things I could do off my movement. And it's a lot of things that I've known. But it's interesting and when you hear from somebody else who is a high level striker and really pointing out to you like, yo, you can really change the game if you can add like these couple of things to your striking, you know. So it was good to really have Adrian Giannis down here, man. And blessings to him and his career. Obviously, I know we're in the same weight class, and you know, sometimes things just go the way they're supposed to, and sometimes they don't. So whether or not we end up crossing paths or he ends up crossing paths with Marab. Marab actually never even got to train with him, but he got to come down and watch the sparring session a little bit. I think at this point, it's a little different because it's not like Marab and I, where we grew up and came up in this kind of together, so to speak, where this is more like, you know, we brought him out for a goal and whatever. And yeah, so things are a little bit different. We don't know how the relationship will develop later on. Like I said, Giannis is a cool ass dude. We hung out, took him out to Johnny McGorry's, got a beer. Shout out Rishi. Got a couple drinks. That was Thursday night after a hard sparring session. And again, like I said, I'm confident about where my cardio is now and a lot more, not eager, but a lot more excited to get back out there. Not like feeling like, yo, this is going to be a daunting task because I already know what's going to happen. I'm going to go out there for 5 minutes, do what I can, and then fade again. And I just don't want that to happen, you know. Because the last thing I want to do is give these trolls any more ammunition to say, like, that's really the real him. And I'm going to leave you guys with this. And last thing that Giannis said that kind of really made, like, it touched home for me. Because we talked about the fight in a little bit, not too much, not too in-depth, with myself and Petey Jan. And he said, bro, like, I spoke to the guys and I told them, like, just being out here, like, you know, I'm trying to paraphrase what he said. And he pretty much said, like, this was eye opening for it changed his perspective on what he saw in the fight and being able to go with me, knowing what I am able to do in the room firsthand and getting to experience it and knowing what my conditioning is really like. Obviously this is not the best condition Aljamain Sterling, because I was getting tired in that third round, but normally, like, I'm going, like, Marab is a machine. I'm like the second machine, you know, I'm like a sex machine, but yeah, like, so something like that, you know. But so that felt good to hear that, and to know that I'm not crazy, because I was starting to think, like, maybe the fans are right. Like, I had to really ask myself watching this, like, now I'm watching my other performances, I'm like, but I don't look like that. And I'm exerting a lot of energy in these fights and I'm still fresh. But I was starting to almost believe what people were saying about me in terms of, oh, he shot his load, he came out too crazy, he can't sustain that pace. No one can sustain that pace. I'm like, but I can, because I did it in the room. If I could do it in the room, you could do it out there. As long as you have the same environment and you're able to still implement your game plan and blah, 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 you could say the adrenaline, whatever, that happens every fight. That's nothing different. But if you're able to keep your energy, your emotions in check and deliver, you're in shape. You know, so again, that made me feel a lot better hearing that. And he made sure he told me, like, yeah, I don't give out compliments. My teammates know I don't give out compliments that easily. And I'm not trying to blow smoke up your ass just because I'm here kind of thing, you know. So and I told him, I was like, I really do feel like I can outstrike Jan if I wanted. And then the takedowns are just going to be the icing on the cake to really solidify the rounds. And eventually being on top, wearing him out, I think I can really, really put him away the legal way and remove all doubt, you know. So fun experience, fun time. And the last sparring session before we got to watch two of our guys fight for Cage Fury, Pombos Gregorio and Pumi Nakuda, Big wins for those guys. Pombos look like an absolute man-child, landing that monster uppercut. Guys, go check that out. It's on Fight Pass. UFC, CFFC 101. Pombos lands a monster uppercut, and it follows up with a barrage of punches on the ground and puts the guy out. Cross-eyed crucifix, I think, three different times, and then finally Keith Peterson saw enough and called the fight in the fourth round and giving Pumi the finish to retain his title. He's now 4-0. I think Pombos is now 5-3. He had like two tough losses that I think if he had done things a little bit differently with the training, I think he would have had more gas in the tank, so to speak, to really outperform those guys, because he's a tough dude. We know what we're dealing with. And in terms of the hierarchy in the room with the 135ers, Pombos sometimes gets the short end of the stick between myself, Marab, James Gonzalez, and then sometimes even Pumi in there, man. Pumi's a freaking demon to work with, you know? So to have those guys, sometimes your confidence could get a little bit shot, but you got to keep it in perspective to see what those guys are doing. And remember that you're going with the best guys in the world on a daily basis. And for you to be doing that, it can only keep your confidence high, knowing that you're going to be there too. Because even if you're taking the licks, eventually you will be giving out the licks. And Pombos has come so far skill-wise. And it's nice to see, and I just hope he keeps on going at it, because I do think if he can continue this run and hit guys like that, he can hurt people bad. And I think he can make a run and get a chance, an opportunity to get to the UFC. Now, congrats again to those guys. Big wins, especially piggybacking off of Marab's performance. Everything's on fire. I just want to talk about this fight card real quick. Kevin Holland, Kyle Dawkins, the ones I did watch. I got to watch some of these fights yesterday. Obviously, I think Dan Mergliotta almost botched this one, and he did the right thing ruling this a no contest, because like DC said, the accidental headbutt is what caused the ending sequence of the fight. Had it been you've been hurt before, and then maybe an accidental shot got in there, but you were hurt. You can make that argument that the guy wasn't hurt that bad. Kevin Holland had a whole flash knockout, landed face first. Luckily, he caught himself with his hands and then came to and realized he was in a fight just trying to survive. And Dan, Big Dan, was saying that, I saw him react, so I thought it was good, and I thought that it wasn't as bad as it looked. I'm like, dude, you see a guy get flash knocked out, you should stop the fight and give it a pause in the action, letting you get the opportunity to see if the fighter is okay, and you can give him time to recover, and then can you reset the fight? Those are the correct steps, in my personal opinion, but he let the fight go, end up getting rear naked choke, and hopefully these guys get to run it back, because I think that was very unfortunate for a fight that looked like it could have shaped up to be really, really good and really, really competitive. It is what it is. Accidents happen. I'm just glad the right call was made, and we never see that happen that often, and I'm glad they were able to salvage that and do the right thing for this, you know. So shout out to Big Dan for that and doing the right thing and making the right call. Sean Shelby, all those guys came over, and you could see it clear as day. The shot was of a fight-altering blow. And I know people were saying that the whole thing with myself and Jan. I'm like, dude, if I got hit with the knee and this guy kept pouncing on me, I'm covering my head the same way I cover my head, and I'm turning, I'm rolling around on the floor, and I'm going to be kicking like a fucking mule to keep this guy off of me. That's all I can do. My head hurts. It's like getting poked in the eye. You're going to stop holding your eye, trying to clear the cobwebs out of your eyeball. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's one of those things, like, guys want to just make an excuse to kind of bash me any chance they get. But at the end of the day, I'm still winning. I'm still going to get paid more for my next fight. Still going to get pay-per-view points for my next fight if it's on a pay-per-view card. Let's be clear with that. And on top of that, I get an opportunity to do it again. So who's laughing? You know what I mean? It's like, yo, you guys are mad that I didn't commit the foul and I didn't take, like, it's mind-blowing, but can't fix stupid. A couple of the other fights, I didn't really watch too many of them. Alex Hernandez, he looked amazing. Jared Gordon, this fight was kind of a tough one, split decision. Joe Selecki looked tough, but it almost looked like those guys were out there sparring. That was really, really weird. And not to go back and forth like crazy, but just one last thing about Hernandez. That was actually the best I think he's looked in a long time. Combination looked so crisp. Down the pipe with that 3-2, sharp right hand. And that was pretty much all she wrote, followed up. And my man went down and he got the dub. But Gordon, I felt like these guys were in like a sparring contest. It didn't look like they were really trying to, I mean, obviously there was a lot of grappling, so arms could have been heavy, but the shots just looked like they were really slow. I'm not saying Jared Gordon's ever been the fastest puncher, the fastest kicker. You know, he's heavy-handed. He puts his body weight behind stuff, and when it lands hard. But it just looked, it looked like a weird fight to kind of, because I was like, man, I can't really tell who's winning. I thought it came down to that third round, and I wasn't sure which way the judges were going to give that. If I had to pick, I was leaning on the side of Jared. Jared's actually a former New Yorker. Grew up here, I think, in Wheatley or Mineola, one of the two. And he's now down in Florida with Stanford with Henry Hoof and those guys. Casey O'Neill, she looked amazing. Round two finish over Shevchenko. Shevchenko took her down first, and I thought, I was like really like shocked and surprised with the control and how well she took her down and managed to control that situation. But then she let Casey up, and then Casey's bread and butter is being on top and then landing ground and pound blows that finish the fight. And that's what she did. She just kept the pressure on, and eventually she got her down twice, and that was all she wrote. And now I think that was her third finish in a row, third win in a row. Not third win in a row, but third finish in a row. Ground and pound, ground and pound, ground and pound, rear naked choke. Okay, so fourth finish in a row, it was UAE Warriors, but in the UFC, she's 3-0 with three finishes in a row. Second round, third round, second round. Wow. So she's going to be moving on up that weight class. Betch Carrera, she retires. Really good fight. Fun fight with Carol Rosa. Rosa looked very, very well, very, very good with those knees. Tie clinch, double jump knees, slamming in elbows when she could. Betch Carrera just looked like she's past her time. I'm going to say she definitely looked like she was a lot slower in the competition. She's 38 years old, but she's one of the pioneers of the females MMA, women's MMA. And for her to go out there and still perform, she gave some good shots when she could. It just looked like she was coming up short. Her arms weren't as long as Carol's. She had a tough time in the clinch. Tough woman, but definitely outskilled in this one for sure. But that's the evolution. You know, the pioneers now with the new school, your skill set, you can see the differential in that. And it was definitely evident in that one. Now, this next one, Jamie Mullarkey, was a tough one with Devontae Smith, because I thought Devontae Smith had that one locked up game, blouses, and Mullarkey came back and just kept the pressure on and eventually got Devontae out of there with some big shots. He threw like this jab that like sliced or caught the knuckle of the eyeball of Smith. Smith kept backing up, and then Mullarkey smelled blood in that second round and just kept going after him, and then eventually Jamie got the finish. Before laying some monster body shots and things. Mullarkey's a tough dude. I think that's two finishes in a row. Over Kamaworthy and Devontae Smith. And before that, losing to Fares Yam by decision and Brad Riddell by decision in his UFC debut. So he's now 2-2 in the UFC. Douglas Ade Andrade, guy's a human specimen. Nasty knockout with that left hook. That guy is a jiu-jitsu guy, but man, when he swings, it is dangerous to be in front of that guy because he is powerful. Powerful. Stephanie Egger and Alejandro Perez, he looked good against Johnny Eduardo, getting that modified armbar, kind of like the Homer Simpson finish, we call it. I don't know why or where that name came from, but you take the arm, you put it in the legs, and then you lean up into it, and it puts into like a Kimura lock on Americana lock on the shoulder while you're on the ground. So you press it in. My shoulders are not very flexible, as you guys can see. But you put it on and it hyperextends that joint. It puts a lot of pressure on there. But he got it and turned it into a straight arm lock and got the finish that way. Modified arm bar. And he looked good before that. I don't know. He was doing a whole lot of this. I don't know if that's going to be a good thing going forward for him. Because I just feel like if guys just keep going like 1-2, one head kick, 1-2, two head kick. Eventually, with him rocking and tipping like that, I think he might, you know, do a little bit too much head movement, so to speak, you know. But I think he's definitely onto something there, constantly keeping the head moving and then coming in and throwing those bombs that he was throwing. They both landed some good punches, some good kicks, but eventually it was Alejandro Perez who got the fight to the ground and finished it. So that's what we got for this week. I'm getting ready to head to Vegas. My fiance is getting some PT work done right now. I'm about to finish packing and then send this out. Try to get this video up a little bit earlier for you guys if I could. I'll see you guys later. Stay blessed, stay safe. And as always, if you like this, subscribe to this shit or spinning back fist, baby. See you guys later. Peace.
That's the show. You ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get to stepping. And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.